Everywhere we go, they know just who we are. Rolling through, you know my crew involved. Every time we drop, you know we do it large.
Haters in the place, better vacate. Making big moves, you in the same space. I was narrating on payday. You was devastated, player hating on me every day.
Why?
I don't really know what they trying to say.
What?
I don't see shit in the same way.
No.
Been this way since grade 8. When I'm getting paid, don't let it come a day late. No, I'm not sentimental. Independent. Living in the present, trying to stay great. No, I'm not calm and gentle. Kinda mental. Swinging off the trees like a primate. Don't really care about the shit you're into. James Baldwin on an instrumental. Speak straight up, no innuendo. Might throw a brick right up in your window. Back in the days, used to play Nintendo. Now I don't play games unless it pays the rental. Trying to stay draped up in some Kenzo. Trying to pay for the reins, navigate the Benzo. Trying to put me in a box, but it ain't that simple. A lot of cats rap, but they spit conventional. So many flows make it rain torrential. Raise the issue, rage with the page and pencil.
Caught a wave and know we ain't gon' fall. Everywhere we go, they know just who we are. Rolling through, you know my crew involved. Every time we drop, you know we do it large. With my team, we do it large. With a check, I do it large. When I flex, I do it large. Everything we do is large. When I move, I do it large. With the bars, I do it large. With my girl, I do it large. Everything we do is large.
Why won't you get out the way? I don't want minimum wage. I'm trying to get me some pay without me going insane. Don't get the digits the same. Get it in different ways.
Yeah.
Want my condition to change. Yeah. Like I requested a trade. We're all considered the same. Prison no different from slaves. Isn't it strange how they administer pain? It's such a sinister game. That's why I ball. Like my dad's name was LeVar. Think I won't make it this far. Now I'm a star. Used to get low in the club. Now I'm just raising the bar. Fuck what you thought. I do whatever I want. Intelligent, but I can stunt. Why do you front? Why do you fake it? You flawed. All of you rappers are frauds. Down for the squad. Need me, I'll come when you call. Down for my niggas like Rod. Put that on guard. Running if money's involved. Quiet till none of y'all talk.
Caught a wave and know we ain't gon' fall. Everywhere we go, they know just who we are. Rolling through, you know my crew involved. Every time we drop, you know we do it large. With my team, we do it large. With a check, I do it large. When I flex, I do it large. Everything we do is large. When I move, I do it large. With the bars, I do it large. With my girl, I do it large. Everything we do is large.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to 101.9 FM CITR broadcasting from Vancouver, Canada. We are currently at UBC, University of British Columbia, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. My name's Jonah, and today we're going to be starting off the show picking up where we left off last week, which is with the Cadence Weapon interview. You guys just heard Large by Cadence Weapon. We had some technical difficulties last week, so we're going to be replaying the interview, and if you want to catch our discussion, our opinions, our jokes about the album, you can check it out on the CITR website. Let's get into it.
Okay, so it's start of a new year. It's been 6 years since your last album, Hope in Dirt City. How have you been filling your time since then?
I've actually just been sitting in a chair and staring at the wall the whole time. I've been making music the whole time. I put out a book of poetry. I've been doing some kind of like hosting stuff. Like I was a narrator for this show on Viceland called Payday. And I've been doing a lot of writing. So I don't know. It's weird. It's like time is an interesting thing, because to me it really didn't feel like a long time between albums. But then I looked up and I was like, wow, that really did come out in May 2012.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so kind of moving on to your upcoming project. So in the past, you've kind of worked on music and produced, from what we understand, pretty much all of your songs, if not a vast majority. And on this new album, you have you've been working with big name artists like Kay Trinada. How is the creative process different from your previous albums where, you know, you're pretty much the creative force behind it, and now you're taking outside artists and working with them to make a piece of art.
Yeah, that's been a big difference for this album versus anything I've done in the past. And I guess I was just interested in, you know, making my music feel like a little less insular and just self-focused. You know, so the idea of just like getting in the room with other producers and writing songs with other people and keeping the environment when I'm making music more social, because I think it's made the result more social as well. You know, like I feel like that's an important thing, the vibe of like the room that you record in and the environment and mood of how you're recording as well. You know, so I definitely think it's this album I achieved that. You know, it definitely feels like warmer and like in a lot of ways like more fun to listen to.
Okay, so kind of going back to the K-Tronada track for a second. My Crew was released as a single, and on Spotify it had a really interesting cover art for it, which was like,
right,
a screenshot of a web browser. And we were looking at it and we saw, you know, he had a couple tabs open at the top, and one of them was a Wikipedia article on double consciousness. We'd like to speak a little bit about the idea of double consciousness, what it is, and how and if it had a major impact on your album subject matter.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. that was just a little Easter egg I put in there. the concept of double consciousness is something I've been thinking a lot about in recent years, and it is like one of the themes that I come to on the album, specifically in the song System, when the first verse is from just the perspective of myself, really, or just like a black man. And the idea of like thinking about how you're going to be perceived by other people, and also like how you perceive yourself. And that is a major theme in this album, I would say, is the idea of like knowledge of self. It's something that I think I rap about a lot on the album. And I feel like it's something that, you know, we all are searching for or trying to approach in our own ways, but I feel like I've gotten to the point where, and I guess this album in a lot of ways is me like analyzing that for myself and like really reflecting on it and being like, huh, I have done a pretty good job of doing that.
No, I mean, I think those are all really interesting points. Like personally, as like someone who's like born and raised in Vancouver, but like has like ethnic heritage from outside the country, like it's always, identity is always this complicated thing to me. So yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting to hear different perspectives on it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's something that's important and that we need more in Canadian music too, is just different viewpoints and, you know, just more diverse ideas, you know, mm-hmm. because I definitely felt like when I was growing up, you know, in Edmonton, it wasn't as diverse as it is today, but it really felt like when I put on TV or something, it would be just, you know, the same kinds of people doing the same kinds of shit. You know, it would be like, I always think of Red Green, the Red Green show. And that was like supposed to represent like your like average Canadian or something, you know?
I actually had a question. You were talking about, you know, being from Edmonton and, you know, your hometown being a large part of your music. So I was just wondering, you know, when you were touring with Born Ruffians, you know, touring outside the country in the States, like, how does it feel to be a Canadian artist, a Canadian hip-hop artist, you know, from a place like Edmonton, Alberta, like, places that no one's probably ever heard about or know about? And it's not like being from New York or L.A., which are kind of, like, capitals of hip-hop. Like, how does that, what is that like?
It definitely, I think it's going to be a little bit different than it was before, because when I first was going out, on the road, you know, maybe like 2006, 2007, it was like daily I had to like explain like where I'm from, who I am, what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like it definitely felt like I was like, you know, in the circus, like the trained bears.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit like that, you know, especially when I would like tour with kind of indie rock bands and stuff. Then it was like, okay, the first like three songs of this, I have to explain what rap is to these people as well. So that wasn't like very easy. But I think now when you have so many Canadian rappers, you know, and R&B artists who are like breaking out in the States, it's like whenever I go to the States now, I go to LA, I hear more artists from Toronto than I hear from LA on the radio, you know?
Really?
So Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's just like Drake, Party Next Door, right. Like back to back, The Weeknd, like it controls the radio there, you know? Yeah. And it's like not something, you know, you would have been able to say 10 years ago.
And what do you think kind of, why is Toronto such a hotbed of great music, especially hip hop coming out, in your experience? Is there anything that sets Toronto apart from, say, Montreal or Edmonton or even L.A. for producing this kind of really good music for the radio?
Yeah, I think it's something that has been kind of bubbling under the surface for a long time. It's like there's all these like different like suburbs with their own artistic communities where they're able to like incubate these ideas in isolation. For long periods of time, like in the winter, like we are now, you know, it's a great time to make music.
Yeah. When you're not hibernating.
Stay warm in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, not much else to do. So, yeah, I feel like it's all those different like enclaves around Toronto. That's where all these artists are coming from. Generally, it's like not from like Toronto proper. So it's like this whole, they have their own scenes and they like develop in their own way. And then, like, once they get into, like the radio machine, it becomes, like, wow, this is this new, fresh thing, and it's, like, part of this Toronto sound, you know? So I don't know exactly why it's happening, but I think it's, like, something with the history of Toronto rap, you know, which is like, you know, you have so many different artists, you know, like Chocolaire and Cardinal and, like, all the and Maestro and just, like, all these artists. They had that foundation to build upon, and also the Canadian music industry is based generally in Toronto, so they have that advantage of proximity to that, whereas like you know you don't have that in Edmonton.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were talking earlier about like kind of racial discrimination and the experiences of feeling like, I guess, like an outsider in society while also being an insider, but also I noticed, for example, on like track 10 High Rise, I feel like you were talking about, like, gentrification and, like, rising debt.
Gentrification?
Yeah.
No, that's definitely a big part of it. Yeah, that's what that song is about. And I feel like, I don't know, like, the biggest threat to society might be gentrification, because I really feel like it's the eradication of the community and the neighborhood, you know, the way that we know it, I think is, like, we stand to lose a lot from that. So, you know, I wanted to write a song about it. Mm-hmm. And it was also very influenced on just when I moved here and the difficulty I had, you know, trying to find a place to live, like, it was insane. You know, it's like me and my girlfriend, we looked at probably like 25 different places. And they're just like, it just was so, the demand was just so high. It was like insane, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely. Like something Vancouverites can definitely relate to.
Yeah, we just got it here, basically.
Does the proliferation, you think, of like music on the internet kind of change that process too?
It's definitely changed it, but like I don't think it's actually like bad or anything. You know, like some people think it's like made it worse, but for me, I feel like the amount of like choice that we have today is really like cool, and I think good stuff always gets through. You know, like if you make good music, people will eventually hear it. Generally, like it's very rare for something to be like outstanding and to not be heard. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah.
I feel like also for a person like me, like the way I listen to music is like I just rip through so much music. I usually listen to like so many albums like in a week. Like I'm just like constantly listening to all the new music that comes out. Like especially with rap, like I hear it all. You know, so. The way like Spotify is, you know, where somebody can tell me, oh, you should check out this album, and I can like instantly be ready to listen to it like 1 minute later. That's, I feel like the world is like my oyster now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on the up and coming SoundCloud rappers and that kind of subgenre of hip-hop?
Well, you know, I think maybe your inclination might be to think that I might not like it because of like. I don't know. They call it mumble rap, and it's just like it's anti-lyrical or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually I like a lot of it. I mean, usually when I'm like DJing, that's primarily what I've been playing lately. You know, I feel like every couple years, like rap ebbs and flows, right? Like it'll go from where it'll be everything you hear is just like dumb rap or something like for lack of a better word, or just party-oriented, and then it'll, like, come back to where it's like, oh, you have to be lyrical again, you know? It's like it goes from, like, conscious to the other side, like, every few years. Mm-hmm. And right now, in some ways, it feels like it's, like, it doesn't matter what anyone says in songs anymore, and it's just, like, all about the beats only.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same era of, like, Kendrick Lamar being, like, probably the biggest rapper.
Right. Are there any, you know, Canadian rappers are generally... The big ones are known, but the more underground ones kind of are still in the underground. Are there any up-and-coming Canadian rappers who you think are going to carry the mantle for the next generation of Canadian hip-hop?
Yeah, sure. I really like this guy, Killy. And he's in Toronto. He has a song called Kilimanjaro. And it's just, like, really fresh, like, just freaky, like, young rap. And I think it's really cool. I also like Claremont II. He reminds me a lot of myself when I was younger. Just, like, he produces all the music. And we played a show together in Montreal recently. And, it was really nice to meet him. I also think, like, some of the, like, bigger new artists, like Nav, Pressa, mm-hmm. like the Prime Boys, like some of the stuff they do, I like.
If you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners or any shout-outs you'd like to give, I think now would be a good time to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for the interview, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Check out my new album, self-titled, Cadence Weapon. It's out January 19th, and... you know, you see it on Spotify, just smash that save button.
Yeah, will do.
You see Cadence Weapon, smash that follow button. I'm really funny on Instagram. Let's do it.
One more time, if you guys didn't catch that, that was Cadence Weapon. Again, if you want to catch all of our discussion talking about it, check our last week's episode where we kind of discussed the album, discussed music in Canada and all that jazz.
You can listen to last week's episode on the CITR website, by the way.
Thank you, Bryden. Good call.
The show is called Word on the Street.
The show is called Word on the Street from CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This past weekend was the Tyler, the Creator concert, and two of our illustrious hosts, Ava and Isaiah, oh, and Zubin, three. We're all at the show, and they're going to give us a little debrief, little breakdown of what went down, what was good, what was bad, what was, I don't know. So let's get into it.
Good show. Great show.
Yeah, really great energy. I think it was the first one of the tour, too. So, nope.
Yeah.
So,
it was really good. Tyler's set was, like, beautiful. He had a staircase with, like, plants going up all the way and the lighting change, and halfway through the show he stopped the show because they messed up his lighting. He was like, you can't do that, you made them fix it. Yeah, he's like, sorry, you messed up the lighting, they deserve better. And it was rough. I think there was a lot of falling over, like a domino effect of just like 30 people on the ground scrambling to get up, but besides that it was really good. And Vince was really great too.
Definitely had an all ages vibe, because that's what it was an all ages show. Like, lining up, there was just, like, kids with their mom, which was great to see.
Didn't doors open at, like, 6?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, Tyler likes to get asleep or something. I guess, like, Grammys on the weekend, like, you gotta look good. I mean, I don't know.
Did you see
the hair was great? Yeah.
The leopard print.
Yeah. Only thing I wish was that, like, Vince and Tyler had been on stage together at one point, because, like, they weren't. And that kind of bummed me out.
Yes.
But otherwise, pretty good.
Any other?
Definitely intense crowd.
Couple
yeah, fist fights.
Really?
Yeah, a couple fist fights. I don't know, man. Just drunk white dudes. What can you do?
Yeah, the crowd was pretty rough, especially for the Vince Staples. It was pretty hard to see or avoid being thrown everywhere. Mm-hmm.
I feel like for smaller shows, when it's a rough crowd, at least there's more, like, accountability and people will be more likely to help you out. But I remember falling and literally just waving my hands in there and be like, someone please help me up. And eventually a guy was like, oh, young girl on the floor, pick me up.
This is drowning.
Yeah, it was rough, but it was worth it.
Cool. We're actually going to take a really quick break, play some ads. When we come back, we're going to continue on a couple of topics about Shindig, local music, SoundCloud, and then we have a very special performance from Turinesh, one of UBC's illustrious performers.
Turn into a wild man, screaming, waving my arms. People would yell at me, "Shut up, you crazy. Get a job, would ya?" Well, I didn't go out and get a job. I got help instead. Now, I'm in a clean and safe apartment. I have friends and helpers who understand me. I landed a decent job. But I gotta admit, I still don't like car alarms or sirens. I used to think mental illness was a death sentence. I got life instead.
This message was produced by Columbian Center Society and Radio Malaspina in British Columbia.
Do you have any awareness of what's been happening with newspapers in the last 10 years?
Not at all. I mean, truth is, I don't even get them anymore. I just read the news on my phone.
It's so much better, and it's free.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The future of news media is in your hands. If you're interested in independent journalism and current affairs, CITR's News Collective is for you. Help hound down stories about diverse and underrepresented issues in the Lower Mainland for Democracy Watch, airing every Thursday at 5 p.m. Email volunteer at citr.ca to get involved.
Sleep.
That song was Tied by Sorry Edith. If you want to catch Sorry Edith, they'll be performing at the finals of Shindig this Friday at Pat's Pub. For those of you who don't know, Shindig is CITR's very own Battle of the Bands, where bands battle it out week after week until only one remains. The three finalists are Sorry Edith, who you just heard, which described themselves as a blast from the gothy 90s alt-rock past. Bored Decor, a funk-centric indie band with a keyboardist with killer moves. And Mama Rudigal, MTHC, a multi-talented R&B powerhouse. I don't know if I pronounced that last one right, and if I didn't, I apologize. We're going to play one song from each of the two remaining bands who will be performing this Friday at Shindig. So bear with us and hope to see you there.
Yep. Cultivate the obsessed. Oh, Soviet prince.
That was Post-Soviet Princess by Bored Decor, and the song you heard before that was 4 a.m. by Mama Rude Gal. Those are the two of the three finalists at Shindig, CITR's Battle of the Bands. Catch that Friday at Pat's Pub.
Cool. We're just going to take a two-minute break, play a couple more ads, and then we'll be back with our special guest.
Portion of the lecture with Professor Michel Foucault. We'll now begin. You in the back there.
Hello, Professor Foucault. How might we begin to understand the nature of this thing that you call sexuality?
First and foremost, it is this. The nature of sexuality is to be found in the February 2018 issue of Discorder magazine.
This month's issue of Discorder magazine is themed around sexuality. Features include necking, Pace Society, Coconuts and Bananas, Dark Time Festival, Vancouver's Bathhouses, plus regular RLAs and under reviews.
À Paris.
The advertisers for the issue are UBC AMS, the Rio Theater, Blueprint, Timber Concerts, the Cinematheque, the Rickshaw, Mint Records. There are over 100 distribution locations across Vancouver. Visit discorder.ca for more info.
After decades of decline, drowning fatalities have been rising dramatically in Canada since 2004. Most drowning victims had no intention of going in the water, and harmless situations can become dangerous quickly. This summer, if you're going out on the water, even if you're not planning on going in it, be water smart and be prepared. Here are some things you can do to reduce your risk of drowning. Learn to swim and swim to survive. If you can tread water for a minute, you can orient yourself, and if you can swim 50 meters in a pool, you'll most likely be able to swim to safety in open water. Most drowning fatalities occur within just 15 meters of safety. Wear a life jacket or personal flotation device. 80% of all boating deaths were people who were not wearing one. Take a marine safety course, and if you're going kayaking or canoeing, know how to get out of your craft if it flips over. Practice basic safety moves such as wet exits and self-rescues. Save the alcohol for dry land after you're done playing on the water. And never go out alone. For more information and more safety tips, go to lifesaving.bc.ca.
Okay, we have an artist in the studio here, and she's going to introduce herself and sing a song live.
Hi, my name is Turunesh, and I'll be singing Midnight. Midnight passes us by. We do not say the sun when it sets, 'cause we make love in this world. Midnight, baby, that's your color. Midnight, baby, that's your color.
Baby,
Wow, 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 wow. So that was, one more time, Turinesh and her song Midnights, off her self-titled EP. So we're gonna take a little bit of time to interview Turinesh. She's a UBC student. What are you studying right now at UBC?
I'm a second year, so I have yet to declare my major, but I'm hoping international relations with a minor in history.
Okay, cool, cool. Would you just like to give us a little bit of your backstory, maybe how you got into music, how you started attending UBC, whatever you deem to be important?
I guess I know. I grew up in Tanzania, Dar es Salaam more specifically. It's a beautiful city, very hot, very humid. I started doing music. I've always loved singing. My earliest memory of me being interested in music was, I think, first grade. We were having some like International Day parade, and I wasn't chosen to like sing and dance with the like maracas or whatever it was. And I was devastated. So that's the first time that I remember kind of being emotionally invested in music. And yeah, ever since, it's been something that I love to do. I started songwriting and kind of having my own identity when it comes to music. I think at the age of 15 probably is when I started writing songs.
Okay, cool. So just following up on that last question, that's when you started, but who are some artists that inspired you to get into music or that you look up to when you're making music?
When I was younger, I don't know if I can say I was inspired by, I guess I cannot recall who inspired me because I've like seen since I was like 7 years old. But as I started to write my own music, I think it was Damien Rice. I don't know if any of you guys know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damien's fucking amazing, man. So, so, so good. And he kind of just inspired me in his song, what's the name? Accidental Babies. Mm-hmm. I adore that song. And that inspired me in my songwriting, not so much to channel his lyrical style, because I don't think that is can be imitated by anyone, and to do it justice, but just to write in a way that is very conscious, not necessarily the world, but like with the self, which is, yeah, so it kind of inspired me to be very thoughtful and vulnerable when I'm writing.
How old were you when you started songwriting?
15, I think 10th grade when I started, yeah.
And was there like a kind of a trigger that was like, I want to start writing music, or was it kind of just organic, you know, you kind of worked your way into it and started listening to more music?
I mean, I've always enjoyed writing poetry and just, like, I loved like English literature, but was, I think when I got my first guitar, and I was like learning how to play, and this is kind of like, I should start writing music. So I had like a little C, G, D minor, you know? And he threw in some words. Yeah, that's how I started. The guitar, I guess, is what inspired me to start writing.
Cool. What genre would you kind of, do you have a genre, or do you kind of just make music that you think sounds good?
I feel like I just make music. I mean, okay. I've been told by people that, oh, you sound very... when I started out writing and putting songs out on SoundCloud, I was told by my friends you sound very indie folk. Mm. And then I've been told soul blues, then I've been told neo soul pop. I don't know too much about what these mean. I mean, that's a very bad thing. I'm an aspiring musician, but I just kind of sit and I sing and I write. And other times, like in this album, when I sang Weary, for example, I was very much channeling like blues, and I was thinking about Etta James. And when I sang Midnight, I was thinking jazz, and I was channeling Ella Fitzgerald. And with the other two songs, I was very much just, you know, me and my producer were just like messing around with the guitar and the piano. We just kind of did shit. And then there's a song. So if you ask me like what genre it is, I guess it's like whatever genre you think it fits into, and sure, but when I was making it, I wasn't necessarily thinking about that. Yeah.
What is your creative process? You know, just messing around with your producer and making sounds. Do you have, you know, do you prefer to work alone? Do you prefer to work in larger groups, with surround yourself with people who are creative? Like, what's that creative process like?
When I started out writing music, it was a very personal, sort of intimate thing. I would write songs and share it with one friend, and I wouldn't let them share with any other people. It was a very private thing. But as you kind of grow as a person and as an artist, you look forward to working with other people because you get to learn from that. You get to see different perspectives and dimensions to the process. So I went from being very private and kind of secretive with my songwriting to being able to collaborate with people. So, like, my process is very much, I feel that when I write music, try and write a song without some sort of melody playing either in my head or like an instrumental that my producer has made or that I made on the guitar, it comes out in like a very literary, poetry kind of way. Like, I go back to writing like poetry that doesn't translate well into music based on like the choice of words and that kind of thing. So it's for me, writing to music is kind of when the lyrics kind of just come out in a more natural sort of way.
How long did you spend working on your most recent EP? Like, was it super long, kind of slowly putting the pieces together, or was it just like all in like one day you came up with everything?
It was my first EP was actually like that. It was like, I think we did 6 songs in one day, but we just kind of used beats that we found online and then lyrics for songs that I had written and kind of like neglected, so it was very easy. With this most recent EP, we started everything completely from scratch, and it took about, I think it took the entire summer. So I'd come home from uni and then the songs were done like probably 2 weeks before having to come back to UBC. My producer was still mixing and everything, and then he sent them over. Like, I guess when did I release it? October? The end of October? Sometime like that. That's when I released it. Yeah. I should know this.
I wanted to say, I was reading your lyrics earlier on Genius because you transcribed it. I can see like the poetic connection you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I found it interesting that you're saying that, so I can see through that.
Okay.
So another question, since you grew up in a different place, how do you find Vancouver and UBC specifically as music communities? Like, how do they compare to those other communities that you've been a part of?
In Dar es Salaam, there is a music scene that's really booming right now. So a lot of young artists, it's very experimental. There's this genre in Tanzania called Bongo Flava. And the new generation is kind of like, we want to sing in Swahili, but we also don't want to have that like overproduced sort of sound. So kind of a lot of alternative Swahili music is very experimental and also using English sometimes. So yeah, it's very new, it's very raw, and like it was a lot of fun. Like my last 2 years of high school and even being back this summer, being a part of that. Like here in Vancouver, I hear it's this insanely artsy place. Like, maybe I'm just not finding the right people. Like my first year of university, I think I got very sucked into academics. That might have been the reason why, but I didn't have that many people that I jammed with, or I didn't see any sort of music scene. I'm seeing it more this year, but it does seem a little kind of, maybe because I'm always on campus, but kind of laid back, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's not super, people aren't like super open, you know, being a, hey, let's go make some music later. Let's do this. It's kind of, I think it's kind of the Canadian thing, kind of reserved, kind of laid back, kind of not super aggressive with inviting over strangers. But, which maybe it's changing. I mean, the clubs like BVP obviously is getting musicians together, working together.
I joined BBP this year, which is like, was kind of like, I was on a mission. I'm like, this is not going to be like first year. I'm going to be surrounded by music 24/7. If I'm not studying, I'm making music. So yeah, BBP is cool. I'm really happy.
Did you do any of the Build-A-Band stuff? Like, are you like, did you find some people to work with, or are you just kind of going to the open mics and jam sessions and stuff?
I did the Build-A-Band thing, and I think it worked well for a lot of people. It was a very good platform, and how they did it was really good. But I did not necessarily find, I did not leave with a band, which I guess it's totally okay. So I've been doing open mics, and that's been kind of fun. I think there's one tomorrow. I'm excited to do that.
Cool.
Okay, so one more question, I think. So on your third song in your EP, it's called Library, and then it says IKB in parentheses there. I think we all know what it is, but do you want to speak to like the significance of that and what that means?
Yeah, so Irving K. Barber is the name of the library here on campus. Yeah. And the reason why I called this song Library, it's very, like, Library is the only song, love sort of song that I've written that is about like an actual person and not just me like, you know, being fictitious with my writing. And it's just about this guy that that I would I was really into him, but I didn't really know him at all, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very superficial yet very intense sort of crush. And I would run into him at the library and I'd be like, you know what, it's 2017, I can say hi. So I'd go up to him and I'd say hi, and it was just the driest conversation of life, each and every time. But still, the crush persisted. So I guess that song's just kind of saying, like, I like how you are, but I hate talking to you. And just trying to, like, explain that to myself in a way, yeah.
Does this guy know that there's a song about him?
He doesn't deserve to know.
Oh, okay.
No, honestly, it's no one's fault that we had nothing in common to talk about. I just think, yeah, but I don't think he knows. And it's not important that he does.
Yeah. Yeah. One of our the other people in the music collective, he couldn't be here, Aiden, he had a meeting to run off to, but he wanted to ask about the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I like the look of you, the way you move. I hate the way you feel. That's a very direct kind of...
Yeah. I think the lyrics are different than how they actually are. I think I say, okay. I like the look of you. I like the way you move. I hate the way it feels whenever I talk to you. And maybe I tend to not be insanely clear when I'm singing, so it makes sense how he... Okay. Yeah, but that's what I said.
So that's literally just you. Exactly.
Like, it's a very honest... Like, I'm just saying exactly how I feel. I'm not trying to be too poetic with it, just being...
Just this
honest.
This is the facts.
These are
you are
the
not
facts.
Good at conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
I think when I was reading like the lyrics to Library, I was figuring out like what you just said. That's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it just made me think of like UBC Confessions or UBC Crushes, because I was like, oh, this is the typical like, anonymous. Oh, I see this very attractive person in the library. I want to talk to them, but I can't.
Again.
But then you actually did. So.
I actually did. Several times.
You had your shot. That's good. But
okay. Took seven.
It happens.
Call it a loss. It's okay.
Fair enough. So what's next from you? Are you working on a new EP? Or are you just trying to make some music, not necessarily recording anything, mm-hmm. finding your sound? What's on the board?
I'm trying to grow as a performer. As much as I really love writing music and I really love singing, I didn't perform so much back home. So I still had, like, I'm still kind of struggling with, like, nervousness and stage fright. And, like, no matter how confident I think I am, I look at my hand and it's shaking, you know. So just, like, trying to put myself out there and perform more in the sense that, because I want it to just be, because, like, when you sing for people, I want it to be more about, like, me sort of having an experience with the audience and really relishing in the song and not necessarily spending like half my brain trying to focus on like, make your foot stay still, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel as though like I'll be able to have a more holistic sort of experience with music and with the audience once I kind of battle and win that battle. Yeah, so that's what I've been trying to do. A songwriter here and there, it's kind of difficult when you're in university because your mind is so scattered. It's hard to get to that place of like stillness where you can sit and write music. Mm-hmm. But every now and then I've been writing. I've been experimenting with jazz here and there. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we do have a bit more time, so we can talk for a bit longer. I was first introduced to your music at the Museum of Anthropology, had their Arts and Culture Night.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of improv. Slam poetry.
Improv was hilarious.
And the improv wasn't quite loud enough, so I was sitting a bit further back. I couldn't hear anything.
Oh, no.
I knew they were talking about umbrellas at one point, but and everyone was laughing, and I'm like, I wish I knew what they were laughing about. So I just laugh when everyone else laughed.
So funny.
Yeah.
Next time, sit in front.
Definitely get there early.
Yeah.
And there were that's where you performed, where I first heard you singing. Mm-hmm. How was that performance? It was a pretty crazy atmosphere in the Museum of Anthropology. It's just like 50-foot tall totem poles on either side. It was sold out, you know, a couple 150 people watching. And it was just you and your guitar player on stage just killing
John Michael,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, it's, I'm not, when I arrived, I was insanely nervous because I've, in the, all the performances that I've done, it's never been a situation where the room is completely quiet. Like it was, I feel as though that's, I perform an open mic and it's kind of like the people that are there for open mic are very attentive and they're listening. Whereas like the other people that have just come there to eat, you know, so there's always like background noise that to me, because I get nervous, it's comforting to know that not everyone's eyes are on me. But in MOA, that was definitely something that was like nerve-wracking. My mouth was very dry. But once I got up there and I started singing, I was able to kind of let that go and enjoy being in such a beautiful space and sing music. Yeah,
that's awesome. So when can people see you perform next? Maybe tomorrow night at the open mic? Or
Tomorrow night at the open mic. I think I'm going to be here again sometime.
Okay.
In February, I think 15th or 16th, something like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the BVP open mic is at the Gallery 2.0 up on the 7:00. Fourth floor of the Nest. So 7 o'clock, you can catch Turinesh there performing. And she's going to actually close us out today with one more song. I think you're doing Library.
Yes, Library by K. Baba.
We're just going to call it right after the performance. And so our next show is going to be Flex Your Head. I got it right this time. All right, Flex Your Head is coming up next. So I'm just going to ask, get up on the mic and just give us a moment as we set this up. Thanks for listening, guys.
I like the look.
Thank you.
One more time, that was Turinesh with her song Library, a.k.a. IKB, a.k.a. Irving K. Barber. This has been Word on the Street. You can catch us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 o'clock. Follow Turinesh on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I don't know, Spotify. Follow her on Spotify. Next up, we have Flex Your Head. We'll see you guys next week.
And email volunteer@citr.ca to get involved.